there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have this memory from my childhood. I'm at a family party at an uncle's house in the San Gabriel Valley, where I grew up. I'm tall now, but in this memory, the adults were still taller than me. Salsa, probably Joe Arroyo or Oscar de Leon, blasts through a bulky speaker that vibrated the entire living room. The adults were dancing, focusing only on the music and the person in front of them. Their moves felt unpredictable to me. Their swaying bodies and pointy elbows formed a human obstacle course. I cut through them to grab a cup of Inca Kola and a bowl of chips from a table in the kitchen. I saw my mom sitting in one of the chairs lined up against the wall, looking up at everyone. She's not dancing.
Algo que de niña me recuerdo bastante es cuando teníamos reuniones de familia o fiestas de la casa. Mm-hmm. Y siempre como, no es que no querías que baile, pero me decías como, no bailes. Mm-hmm. Y quería saber tu relación con bailando. ¿Cuál es esa relación?
Pues yo como no iba a fiestas, yo no sabía ni bailar ni nada.
One of the reasons why we had so many rules at home was because of my mom. My mom grew up in a conservative evangelical household in the 70s in Lima, Peru. My mom never learned to dance as a teen. She said she didn't go to parties when she was young. She never learned.
Teníamos una vida como más tranquila, nunca hubo licor en la casa. Teníamos nuestras reuniones, jugábamos, nos alegrábamos y todo, nos reíamos, comíamos y todo, pero no había licor ni esas cosas.
She says she did go to parties, kinda. They were more like gatherings or hangouts. Friends would get together, eat and laugh. There was no alcohol involved.
Sí, era diferente. Los vecinos se amanecían ahí haciendo uy, fiestas y que no dejaban ni dormir, pero y ya las fiestas se acababan como a las 5 de la mañana.
At an early age, she knew that her family was different. Her neighbors drank, they danced. They threw loud parties. Sometimes the parties lasted until 5 in the morning. My mom doesn't really remember this, but as a kid at our family parties, she discouraged me from dancing.
Por eso me dijiste, no bailes.
O te decía, ni me acuerdo si te decía. ¿Te decía no bailes?
Yeah.
Pero no me escuchaste.
No.
Te voy a bailar y no.
No.
When I asked her about this, she said, but you didn't listen. You love to dance now. And she's right. But it took me a long time to get here. That memory of my mom not dancing at a family party comes back to me when I think about my own relationship to fun. How I grew to love moving freely in my own body. Arts My Cultura Podcast Network, Vice, and Elias Studios. This is Party Cruise, the untold story. I'm Janice Yamolka.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I grew up in a place called Roland Heights. It's east of downtown in LA County in the San Gabriel Valley. The SGV. When people stare at me completely clueless, I just tell them the other valley. I remember growing up with Chinese kids, Korean kids, Mexican kids. More than half of the population was born in a different country. And a lot of the kids were like me, kids of immigrants. In school, we spoke to each other in English, and at home, we spoke in a different language to our parents. High school for me was defined by music videos. We had a black box, basically a rigged up black market cable box, which meant I had access to every channel, including MTV Jams. It was hip hop music video heaven. In the early 2000s, video vixens were queens. Voluptuous models like Melissa Ford and Vita Guerra, they were the director's muses and completely outshined the rappers. I was mesmerized by their power. But the video that blew me away, it was Beyoncé's Crazy in Love. When the video was Jam of the Week, which meant it played every hour all week. I watched it carefully and copy-based every dance move. I even tried to look like her. I bought the white tank top, the denim shorts, and red stiletto slingbacks. Whatever I could find at the swap meet. It gave me a glimpse into what being a young woman could look like. It was sexy, fun, and fashionable. A type of freedom I hadn't seen in person. Rebellious even. So different from the modestly dressed women I'd see at church. And I knew if a bit of that freedom could rub off on me, I could do anything. High school was also the time that I started to help my parents out. My parents both worked a lot. They cleaned houses for a living. So when I got my license, my mom made me drive their cleaning crew around on the weekends. I'd shuttle a team from house to house in a big white Astrovan. It was the car I learned to drive in. But at night, I'd have the van all to myself. And I have a lot of memories in that van.
I remember driving my mom's Astrovan and packing girls in it.
Yeah, our little party crew. Yes.
The Astrovan, so many memories in that van.
Yeah.
I can't believe I drove my mom's like cleaning Astrovan and drove with girls to parties.
That's Sammy Salinas. She was one of my best friends in high school. We've lost touch over the years, but when we catch up, it's like we haven't missed a beat. We met at her home in Moreno Valley and gathered around the dining table. Her kids watched us, but they probably had no clue what we were talking about.
Like, I remember, like, girls, like, there was no seats because there was, like, cleaning supplies and then, like, all the chemicals for cleaning, and it was just, like, going around the car. Oh, my God, it was so embarrassing.
Yeah, it was fun.
So what are we here to talk about?
Back then in the 2000s. Parties, going out, sneaking out.
When Sammy and I first met, we instantly hit it off.
I felt like we were close. I felt like with you, we could talk hours on the phone. Sometimes I couldn't express my feelings because I was hiding it for so long. But with you, it's just like we could talk about boys and what are we going to do and, you know, life.
We're both outgoing, both with religious immigrant parents. And we both definitely felt the pressures from it.
I couldn't do a lot of stuff, like, you know, watch TV. He was really protective. My dad, he had me a little bit older, so he didn't understand, you know, a little bit of teenage girl, I guess, I'll say, you know, what we go through. At that time, I was going through a lot because my parents had divorced. So I think doing stuff was something that was using to kind of like keep my mind out of it, yeah.
Together, we found an escape. On the weekends, Sammy and I would sneak out of our homes and dance the night away. Somehow, we'd get back in our rooms before our families woke up. I'd always be falling asleep the next day at church. I guess you can say we were partners in crime back then. Like Thelma and Louise, but with curfews.
I had friends catching me through my window to sneak out. I mean, 10:30 is when the party starts.
Sammy and I were part of an all-girl party crew called the Lustful Ladies. Ladies spelled L-A-Y-D-E-E-Z. I know, it's a little embarrassing. And the details are kind of blurry. But the way I remember it, back in our day, if you wanted to join a party crew, you needed to know someone. Or get recruited. And once I was in, for Sammy, it was a no-brainer.
It's just like, naturally with you guys, just you guys doing it, I'm doing it too then.
Do you remember your nickname?
I think it was like, what was it?
Was it Miss Caramel?
If you were in a party crew, chances are you had a nickname like Miss Caramel, Giggles, or Flaca. Sammy pulled out an old picture of us that she had on her phone and zoomed in into a big laminated card she was holding that was clipped on a lanyard that she was wearing around her neck. It was a badge, like a name badge, and it had her nickname on it. I remember making that badge on Photoshop, which I downloaded off LimeWire.
I have, oh yeah, it is Caramel Diva.
Oh, caramel diva.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh shoot. Oh
my God. Caramel diva.
My nickname was Mocha, just a short version of my last name, Yamocha. I guess you can say I was the mocha to her caramel.
Can you describe what you're holding?
It's like a sign. It tells you pretty much who you are. And I think it's a girl dressed like lingerie.
The girl she's talking about dressed in lingerie, that's our logo for the Lustful Ladies.
And then your name underneath pretty much is like, that's your entry sign. Like, this is my crew and this is my girls in the back kind of way, you know? Yeah.
It's how we repped our crew. You know, just a bunch of teens at a backyard party with lanyards and badges hanging around our necks, looking like tech bros at a networking conference. Okay, the easiest way to explain a crew is a group of friends who are dedicated to throwing and going to house parties. On a good night, the parties crammed over 100 kids in a backyard. There were all-girl crews like ours, all-guy crews, and co-ed crews, like Infamous Ladies, 323 Alcoholics, and Huggies Productions. Some crews were about dancing, some were really stylish, but some were really competitive about throwing the best parties. And in our world, the best parties had to have certain elements. Imagine this. You get handed a flyer at school or at the mall on a Friday. It's a glossy baby pink flyer. The all-girl party crew, the Sweethearts, is throwing a party, and you're invited. On the back, there's a couple of phone numbers to call for the directions to a secret location. Once you and your friends make it to the location, which is usually an empty house or a warehouse, you pay a few bucks to get in. Immediately, you're surrounded by fog and lights, and you're tingling from excitement. Because you hear the DJ play the first few notes of your current favorite song.
Little John, the East Side Boys, Yin Yang Twins.
Like Daddy Yankee.
The party didn't have reggaeton and Daddy Yankee, and it wasn't catchy.
Do you have any songs that stand out from that era?
Yeah, Hulon.
Every party had the best music. It's 2004, so think early reggaeton, hip-hop, music you can grind to in the dark. The fenced-in backyard was always just bodies on bodies.
Just like, you don't think about anything. You just close your eyes and just listen to the music and just dance away with your friends. It's like, yeah, it's one of those feelings.
On a concrete dance floor in the muddy backyard of someone's house, we made the rules. Alcohol was provided for a fee, and sometimes the crews would get fancy and make jello shots or provide Smirnoff ices. And of course, the party wasn't a party without a NOS tank in the corner.
The big old tank and balloons, they would sell those, I think, $1 too. Yeah. And then I don't remember how I got them. I would just get them.
NOS is nitrous oxide. It gives you a quick head high when you inhale it.
I passed out a couple times with that. It's hard to describe the feeling, but it was one of those feelings that it felt good, kind of way, at that time.
But like my friend Sammy said, for us, it was about showing up with our girls, the Lustful Ladies, to let it all out on the dance floor.
Yes, lots of grinding and lots of booty shaking, lots of twerking.
While we were dancing, it was the first time I was discovering how my body could move and see how others reacted to me. It was the release I was yearning for.
Doing handstand twerking and, inappropriate dancing.
I remember the handstands and yeah. Literally I was like, you guys had to be there to see it, to believe it. Because it's like, I have no idea how, we were so limber and strong.
I know.
How did the parties, make you feel when you were, dancing? How were you feeling?
It's just like, you're free.
Free is how I would describe it too. Free from parents. Free from judgment. Free from expectations. free to move your body, free to express yourself any way you wanted. But sometimes that freedom came at a price.
House parties in East LA would usually be broken up by the cops or by gunfire, which was crazy to think about it now.
These underground parties move from site to site, and how all too often they attract drugs, alcohol, and gang violence.
The moment where I felt unsafe was the shooting, when we were just like in the house and we just didn't know like what was going to happen next. And we're just like waiting for the cops to come.
From one day to the next, you just hear whispers, you know, from mutual friends and be like, damn, so-and-so. I got shot. No longer here.
That's after the break.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
So many memories of my party crew days are blurred. But I do have this picture in my head of something that happened one night. I was 16, and a huge group of us were going to a party that our friend's crew was throwing. It was the party of the night, because everyone I knew from the scene was going to be there. I remember the street was lined with cars. We had to park a few blocks down. There was a line in the front, and you could feel the bass bumping from the speakers as you walked closer. I remember the rush of excitement. And I remember walking in, and there was this thing that crews would do. They would call their names when they would walk in a party. I remember leading my friends through the crowd. We formed a line, each one of us holding each other's hand. I led them straight to the dance floor.
felt like we danced all night. My legs were sore and my hair was drenched in sweat from all the moving and shaking I was doing and from all the body heat surrounding me. Then suddenly, my friend threw his body on us, and that's how I realized something happened. Shots had been fired. We all dropped to the floor. I can't exactly remember if the music stopped, but in my head, the whole place went quiet. Everyone scattered. The party was over. None of my friends got hurt that night. And to be honest, we were young and we felt invincible, like nothing could touch us. That wasn't the only time I was at a party where someone got shot. Shootings did happen.
In an instant, a party scene can turn into a war zone. Tonight, a look at a few casualties. For them, the party's over.
Shootings that have left a half dozen partygoers dead or wounded in the past 3 months.
And police raided these parties often.
Law enforcement officials say they're coordinating on every level to attack the problem.
It's very high on our priority list.
People drank and did drugs, and then sometimes got behind the wheel or got into fights. Despite the dangers, I felt like my friends and I were invincible. But then in 2006, I got a call. I was told one of our good friends, Hector, got shot at a party. Hector was tall and thin with jet black hair and thick eyebrows. I always thought he looked like Kevin from the Backstreet Boys. He worked with a small group of disabled adults, taking care of them for the day. I'd see them at the food court having lunch together or browsing books at the bookstore that used to be inside the mall. I remember him being really proud of his job. He was part of a crew called Wicked Productions, and he went by the nickname Hectic. He died a few days later. He was 21. And when I look back at my teenage years, I realize I made it out in one piece. And in some ways, I feel relief. But mostly, I feel guilt. Guilt for surviving the scene when others didn't, like Hector and Emery. That's why Emery's case hit close to home. I also felt shame because I put myself in danger and hid it all from the people who wanted to protect me the most. My parents had no idea I was going out at night. That's why, for so long, I haven't thought about my party crew days. I stored those painful memories away, like handwritten notes from high school, in a box under my childhood bed. For me as a teen, the party crew scene was fun and exciting. But at the same time, it was scary. And learning about Emery all these years later, it brought back all those memories. Emery's family told me that when she died, they not only had to deal with her loss, but also a kind of judgment that she was involved with a party crew scene.
I was upset because it's not what we were expecting.
This is her Aunt Becky again.
And then I start getting calls from friends or just people saying, oh, I didn't know Emery attended those parties. I didn't know she was that kind of person. So that made me very upset. So I just told my husband, when the phone rings, I said, don't answer it or I'm not here.
It irritates me.
Here's Crystal, Emery's sister again, describing the news coverage.
I know under that video specifically, there's someone who commented, that's what you get for going to those parties. And I remember I commented back and I was like, that's my sister that you're talking about. You don't know who she was. You don't know what was going on at the time. Stay out of it. I mean, like I said, they made it more about the parties than her actual murder and disappearance.
The thing is, Emery wasn't shot or found dead at a party. She was found alone in an abandoned warehouse days after disappearing. So this raises another question. Did Emery's death actually have anything to do with the party crew scene?
We don't even know really where the crime scene is. We're calling the crime scene where the body was found. I think we couldn't even verify that she even went to a rape party that night.
Mm-hmm.
We had conflicting information on that. So did she go or didn't she go?
That's next time. This episode was written, reported, and hosted by me, Janice Yamoka. Our show is produced and reported by Sophia Palisa Carr, Victoria Alejandro, and Kyle Chang, and edited by Antonia Cerejido. Additional editing by Annie Aviles. Fact-checking by Nidia Bautista. Sound design and original music composition by Kyle Murdoch. Our supervising producer is Janet Lee. Art by Julie Ruiz and Victoire Coyon. Our executive producer from Vice Audio is Kate Osborne. Our executive producers from Elias Studios are Antonia Cerejido and Leo G. Our vice president of podcasts from Elias Studios is Shayna Naomi Crocmo. Special thanks to the UCLA Department of Communication Archive for access to their news collection. Party Crew's The Untold Story is a production of Elias Studios and Vice Audio in partnership with iHeart's My Cultura Podcast Network. For more podcasts, listen to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And hey, were you in a party crew? Send us your party flyers or photos. I'd love to see them. Even a voice message about your memories, anything. You can send us a message or a picture at partycruise@eliasstudios.com. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes Los Angeles a better place to live. This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.